interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a Friday TGIF August 16 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, kicking off live from Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love celebrating life. And excited at Rufino's. More on everything they've got going on here later in the program. For the next 2.5 hours, joined by my partner in crime, the famous Clint D. Inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Much ado about nothing, he asks, and then he attempts to answer. The news of the day, somehow, someway, Billy Napier, Dr. Brian Maggard, Lee DeLeon of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation, everybody here in Cajun country has somehow caused an uproar. And I'll explain to you exactly why I understand some of the national sentiment. I just don't agree with it. Too damn local and too damn savvy to take that bait. We're going to take your phone calls off top here. We got a guest coming up in about 12 minutes. You want to get them in? I bet you know the topic. It's all over the country. Feel free to call and weigh in. 706-0111. Yes, we'll talk Saints. Yes, we'll talk plenty of LSU camp. But let's lead with what everyone's discussing. $50. 50. American currency. That is what earlier in the week on Wednesday, Cajuns head coach Billy Napier said it would become mandatory for his players to contribute, his scholarship players, to contribute toward the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. In the 48 hours since, news travels slowly. I mean, dripping out of the faucet, apparently, when it's about a Group of Five program and it takes certain parties a certain amount of time to get their claws into it and serve their cause. More on that momentarily. But 48 hours later, Billy Napier, preceded by Dr. Brian Maggard, had to walk at least that mandatory word back. Had to do a little bit of crawfishing. Wouldn't be Acadiana if that wasn't part of it. But they had to, I think, properly walk that back and say, no, it's not mandatory. It's strongly encouraged. And there's a lot of background to understand here. This donation, an idea that reportedly the players came up with after sitting through a presentation by new RCF Executive Director Lee DeLeon on Wednesday. By the by, we'll have Lee on the program later. I'll tell you when momentarily. But this has been an offseason in which I think Cajuns players have been exposed to a lot of successful people. Some of them played UL football, and many of them did not. And so this was something the players, by and large, recommended. Billy Napier and company put it out there, walked back the word mandatory. And then everyone around the country wants to take a stab at this. Now, here's exactly what I think about it. I do understand some of the national bad optics. But much of it, in my opinion, is self-serving for a cause. And it's the cause of paying the players. This, to me, is kind of taking people off the beaten path, right? Because we've seen some progress in that direction. There is a cost of attendance now. A stipend that adds to a scholarship. Yes, it depends on the sport. It depends on the program, everything about it. The background of the player, and if they need some more financial aid. There's so much that goes into it. It's really not one size fits all. But so many, and frankly I'm amongst them, want more for these players. Already we don't have EA Sports College Football anymore because, well, Ed O'Bannon Company, they took that bad boy to court. You can't use a player's likeness in that way. But you sure can't go outside of Tiger Stadium, just for example, and find any number of number 7 LSU jerseys that are hanging. No, that's not Pat Peterson. That's not Tyrann Mathieu. That's not Leonard Fournette in this season. No, it's not Grant Delpit. It's just our colors. It's just our jersey, and we happen to select the number 7 to sell. We thought that'd be a little more popular than my guy Ruffin Rodriguez, number 68, just big chilling out there by the north gates of campus, trying to vend that. And so I get the argument, and I support the argument, although I wouldn't want to be in charge of making the decision of how to slice the pie, that the players should be paid. I really do feel that way. But using this as one of your jumping-off points, it's self-serving. And that's a lot of what's happening out there, in my opinion. We're talking about $50. And not only that, the correct interpretation, which has now been kind of dragged, frankly, I understand that part two, out of Napier and Company, is strongly encouraged. And Billy's also since said, if anybody came to me privately, had a problem, I'd pay it. We'd figure it out. This is something that was meant to not only tie these players to the program, it's meant to help find ways to introduce these players to life after football by being tied in with other community pillars. And boy, I totally get that part. You think these guys are all going pro after 22 or 23? Not even close. But if you can make a tie in this community, you can really be set for life. And so I understand some of that national sentiment. But here's what else I'll tell you. Can we acknowledge that Cajuns football has now been a national topic of discussion two times in the last 10 weeks? First, it was the beer, the hot dogs, the family-friendly concessions that are unheard of across the country. Unheard of. And now it's this. These people know how to create and milk publicity, generate buy-in, and build a brand. I'm incredibly impressed by that. Now, winning has to follow. And we've already seen it to a degree, winning the Western Division of the Sun Belt, playing in the inaugural Sun Belt Conference title game, and now starting to build a top 70 recruiting class in the country, which again is pretty impressive. It is the top recruiting class in the Sun Belt for the 2019 class, well on their way for 2020. So for me, I look at that. And it shouldn't be lost in this. Billy Napier was on the Paul Feinbaum show today. People were talking about this in the USA Today national publication. So here we are in mid-August. The number one lead story I saw on the mothership.com was this storyline. And if you think it's going to give the Cajuns a black eye, I personally disagree. All right, let's head out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Larry, that's my spiel. What's your take?
All right, Ben, this is what I want to say. I don't want to get into a pay-the-players conversation. I think we can agree this has nothing to do with that, right?
We agree that it doesn't, but I think it's being twisted into being one and the same by a lot of national pundits.
Oh, yeah, I got you. But I'm saying for us, for you and I talking right now, let's not even get into that because that's neither here nor there. To me, this thing, if I'm a player, if I'm a football player at the University of Louisiana and I got recruited to go play football over there, well, then why do I – because what I've heard is that they want them this $50 donation is so we can think about all the people who have donated and all the great facilities and stuff. Well, why do I care about any of that? I got recruited to play football. That's what I'm coming here to do. You see what I'm saying? Why do I have to have some forced – well, I'm going to give back. But it feels forced to me. Instead of it being, like, organic, this feels like we're trying to make some sort of – I don't know what – it just doesn't feel right.
Larry,
if the players came up with this thing
– yeah, that's what I'm saying. Does it change your opinion at all to know that the players had this idea?
Yeah, I mean, so if the players came up with it, then cool, man. Then if they want to give $50 because they love the university, I'm all for it. But I don't want to hear that this thing is – well, the coaches are telling the players they got to give $50. Man, come on. How many of these guys are from Lafayette? How many of these guys grew up as Cajun fans? You know, any of that stuff.
Yeah,
why do they care?
I'll tell you why I think that's not – I think that's a little bit of missing the boat. I appreciate the call, Larry. And look, here's what I would tell you and anybody else. This is part of what I was saying when I went down the road of life after college football, life after 22 or 23. Let me give you an example. I'm doing a radio show right now from Rufino's on the River, owned by Ruffin Rodriguez, who played football at LSU. Was this kid from Thibodeau down the bayou – otherwise going to become a restaurant magnate if he didn't play football at LSU, make those connections to where he can go and mentor under T.J. Moran of T.J. Ribs, get in a position to where he can go in with Jerry DiNardo at DiNardo's, that's now Ruffino's, come back. You see what I'm saying here? I mean, these dots don't just they connect themselves because you're in a place and you're connected and aligned with the community. So for me, you ask, are they from Lafayette? Are they from Acadiana? Many of them, no. You're absolutely right. But to say, why do they care? Well, because it's not about the past. It's about the future. And I would look at it like that type of opportunity. I mean, look, hell, I'm not going to say it's apples to apples of me attending the University of Georgia and some of these kids attending UL on a football scholarship. It's not, for a lot of reasons. I came from a different background than many of them. Of course, then again, many of them are getting paid a good bit with the cost of attendance and everything else, whereas, yeah, I earned a scholarship, but it was a lot different. Here's my point. At a point, I even shelled out, I think it was like $100, something like that, for bartending equipment and to take some bartending courses. Seriously, why? Was that going to better my long-term future? No, but it can help make me some money in the short term while I needed some when I was in college. Just my opinion, people often make investments in themselves, and I think if this is being viewed as a forced investment, I get why people are being bent. I just don't think that's what's happening. I don't think it is forced at all. And I think it's an investment not just in the future of UL football. It can be an investment that allows you to become your version of what Ruffin Rodriguez is here. And look, Ruff is just one example. It's just what came to mind because, I mean, look at the place I'm in right now. But it happens all over the place. I mean, just point to anybody that played at UL and then has a career that they can make in Lafayette, that they did it through the oil industry for years. It is just prevalent. I'm running out of real estate. I promise you, we're going to spend a lot of time on this program on this subject. Before we head to a break, Luke Johnson will be with us in about 3 minutes. We're talking Saints football. We will have Lee DeLeon, the executive director of the RCAF, live at 4:45. You don't want to miss that. And then Mike Scarborough talking LSU at 5 o'clock. Quickly, let's hit a break. We'll be right back in. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Ruffino's on the River on 103.7 The
Game. You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
There we go. That's the way to come back in, and we are live from Ruffino's on the River. Talked a lot of Raging Cajuns, some of the off-field storylines that are making national news today. Clint took several calls during the break. I promise you, we'll get back on that horse. But right now, let's head out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Our pleasure to bring back aboard Luke Johnson, covers the Saints and all things Louisiana for the USA Today Network. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing great, man. I'm unfortunately I'm not able to report that I'm enjoying the beach in Southern California, but the swampy humidity of Louisiana will have to do just fine for right now.
Well, I understand. You're used to it, and you'll soldier through as you always do. These Saints, they have an opportunity, I think, to really test their secondary, and they didn't really pass the test against the Vikings. But when you go up against Keenan Allen and that crew, Phillip Rivers chunking it, yeah, that'll test you. So your view on what this week means and what you're looking forward to, I guess, from that regard on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think first things first, we're going to see a little bit more playing time for the first unit. I don't know if we're going to see guys like Drew Brees or Cam Jordan. I think both of those guys sat out the first two preseason games in each of the last 2 years. But we'll see more of guys like Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore, Marcus Williams and Von Bell, PJ Williams, and see how they fare against really a top flight passing attack. You can't take a whole lot from preseason games. The schemes aren't as elaborate as they normally would be in the preseason or in the regular season. They don't necessarily scheme for these things like they otherwise would, but I think you can get a grasp for how guys fare against top level competition, just especially in those one-on-one matchups. And, it's an area I'm definitely going to be watching this week. I'll be watching that. I'll be watching guys like Marcus Davenport and seeing if he can maybe kind of do something after kind of a disappointing showing last week. And I think you know, it's just going to be nice to have a little bit more of a sample size as it relates to the 2019 Saints than the 10 to 15 plays that we saw those guys play in week one.
How important do you think that this preseason becomes for Teddy Bridgewater for this year's purposes and beyond?
I think it's huge. Honestly, I think last year he never really had a chance. We've gone over this in detail in stories and everything this offseason, but he never really had a chance to truly sink his teeth into the offense. And the only time we ever saw him get on the field, it was a nothing Week 17 game where only a handful of starters were playing. It's tough to really get a true gauge for what he can do. I think this preseason for him is audition time. This is his time to show that, you know, not only is he fully recovered from the knee, I think he's kind of put that to bed, but he's still capable of playing at a high level. And you get to see what he can do in an offense that's more suited to a quarterback moving the ball around the field. I don't think he had to do that a whole lot in Minnesota. So I think this is really important. I think a lot of teams are, you know, next year when he's a free agent again, a lot of teams are going to be looking back at this game tape from these preseason games, Saints included, just to see how he operates in this type of offense and how he can get guys in and out of the huddle and operate the offensive tempo. And I think he showed last week that he can still do that. And I think it's important that he kind of carries that over and has a strong week two and week three and week four.
Talking Saints football with our guy, Luke Johnson. You can read his work locally in the Daily Advertiser, part of the USA Today network. All right, let's go to the O-line, Luke. Teron Armstead has been injured. That happens a lot with this franchise. But Ryan Ramczyk, I know, went out earlier in the week. Updates you could share on both and I guess how the O-line is faring.
Ramczyk's been back out there. I wouldn't be surprised if they're just taking it really cautiously with Teron. Just knowing his injury history, you don't want to rush that guy back to the field. Now, again, it could be something you know that's really worth worrying about, and the Saints will never let you know because of their policy of discussing injuries. But if I had to kind of take a stab at it, I would say that's probably the case. There's no sense in bringing that guy back before he's ready, just because it's been a yearly issue. I'm fairly certain he's never played a full 16 game season, and you know they need him to. He's a huge part of that offense. When he's healthy, he's one of the best offensive tackles in football. Probably one of the best offensive linemen. But yeah, that caveat of when he's healthy is what gets a lot of people irritated when talking about Teron Armstead. And it's really unfortunate. And I don't think anybody in the world wishes more than Teron Armstead that he was out there healthy for every game. I think he's just as frustrated as everybody else is. But just taking that into account, you just have to be as cautious with him as you would be with anybody else, I think.
Well, stick with the offense, Luke. And I feel like I've gotten relatively conflicting reports, depending on what analyst or reporter I've talked to on the show, about the wide receivers that are emerging outside of Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. So I'll let you speak on that subject. Who would you expect to be the third and the fourth guys in line there?
Well, I think right now it'd be Traquan Smith and probably Emmanuel Butler, but I want to just take a step back off of the Emmanuel Butler hype train that's been building with everybody and just say I want to see him do it in games. I think there are guys out there, it does exist, a guy who's a really good practice player who just can't find a way to show up on Saturday or Sunday or whatever it might be. I'm not saying that is Emmanuel Butler. I'm just saying that we haven't seen it yet in a game. And I'm actually really excited to see what he can do on Sunday against the Chargers, because you know it's live bullets, man, and we didn't get to see it in the first preseason game, but all indications that we've seen in practice is he's a big-bodied guy who knows how to make contested catches, and he doesn't necessarily have to be open to bring the ball down. And I think there's definitely a way the Saints can use a guy like that, and Yeah, Traquan, I don't think he's necessarily going to be pushing Ted Ginn for like a lot of game time right now. I think the physical ability is still all there. It's just you still get the sense that he's not as far along as where you'd want him to be from just understanding the offense. I think it's hard for young receivers who play in, you know, a simplistic college system like the one he played in at UCF to come in and grasp the nuances and complexities of what the Saints want you to do at multiple positions. I think he's still got a little bit of ways to go there, but the physical ability's there. You know, if you were just having a guy out there running routes against the air, you know, hauling in passes, I think he looks the part. He's just not a complete player yet. And beyond those guys, you know, I still think Keith Kirkwood has a good chance of making this team, even though he's missed a lot of time with injury. And then it's kind of a crapshoot after that. I think a lot of guys have shown ability and a way they can help the team, but you know, that's a lot of guys you're talking about for probably one spot right now. And I think these preseason games are going to be crucial for them, especially for guys like Deontay Harris, who's probably not going to make the team as a receiver, but he might make the team as a return man. So you've got to show out in a number of different ways.
Coming down the stretch with Luke Johnson on 103.7 The Game. Luke, one more. The usage plan for Drew Brees between now and the Monday night opener against the Texans.
I expect we'll see him, and again, this is just my assumption based on recent history. I expect we'll see him suit up, go through warm-ups, and then sit out this Sunday. He'll play a pretty significant amount in week three against the Jets, and then he'll probably sit out week four. I don't think he needs any more than that. You get him all the time on task he needs in practice. You get him a little bit of game speed just to make sure that skill's still sharp. But, you know, 19 years in, you don't need a whole lot of that. I don't expect to see him Sunday, and I don't expect to see him in week four either.
Season pro, Drew Brees, and the guy talking about him, Luke Johnson. You can read him locally in the Daily Advertiser. Luke, fun to do this as always. Keep up the great work.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me on.
There you have it. Saints getting ready for a Sunday afternoon date with the Bolts on the West Coast. Had to fit that conversation in. Now here's the game plan. Quick timeout. When we return, I want to take your pulse on the news of the day with the Raging Cajuns. Big deal, no deal at all, and then get more of your responses. Larry had a great call. Let's take more of them. Don't care if you agree with me or not. I think you know that by this point. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back out to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
.1037 The Game is all over social media. We want to interact with you. Tweet us at .1037 The Game and vote on our show's Twitter polls. Like .1037 The Game on Facebook. Comment on the biggest topics involving your favorite teams.
And send.
Check out our video recaps and give us your feedback. Can't get enough live and local sports talk? Keep the conversation going online all the time with Acadiana's number one sports station. Yes! .1037 The Game.
Driving is freedom. The freedom to keep moving, to control your destiny, and to choose your path. And now, that freedom fits in the palm of your hand. It's called Ford Pass, the only app that gives you roadside assistance. Ford Pass rewards, and now when you buy or lease a new Ford, earn points you can use toward flexible complimentary maintenance that gives you, well, more freedom. Ford Pass, built to keep you moving. Built Ford proud. Visit your participating Ford dealership to find out about getting flexible complimentary maintenance when you buy or lease a new Ford and sign up for rewards.
Roadside assistance is included for certain Ford owners and available to everyone for a per service fee. Ford reserves the right to change program details without obligations. Visit your participating dealer or FordPassRewards.com for program rules and restrictions. Ford Pass, compatible with select smartphone platforms, is available via a download.
Fantasy football, it's all the rage. And we've still got two leagues with opportunities for you to join at Acadiana Sports Station. You can be a part of RP3 and Company's draft,
this coming Wednesday, the 21st, starting at 7 p.m. live at Twin Peaks on Johnston. Or you could be with our good friend Jordy Holtberg on Wednesday, September 4th. Same time, 7 o'clock, same place, Twin Peaks on Johnston. Just call in and add your name to the draft list. Dial us up at 706-0111 and play some fantasy football while having fun with 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back around to the good stuff inside of Rufino's on the river. And here's what I want to do. I know we had some interest at the end of our first segment. I want to jump right back into it. I gave you my take. Bit of a windy road. I understand that. And I got some interesting feedback. A couple of people on the text line. So I'll open it back up on the Artco Equipment Hotline. Before I do that, our sink or swim question ties right in. So, Clint, the music, then the question.
Love, exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day. This news of the day with the Raging Cajuns, is it a big deal, or is it no deal at all? Again, the number to have your opinion heard, 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
For me, Ben, it is absolutely no big deal, largely because of the fact, to me, it's what you brought up perfectly in that first segment, was the fact that this is something that the players came up with. It's not just, oh, hey, something that Billy Napier, the coaching staff, kind of said it was voluntary. This is something that they came up with through their own will and volition after hearing what Lee DeLeon said. I know we'll have him on in the next segment to kind of give us a lot more detail on it. But just because of that, it's no big deal to me.
And look, that's at least one of the text responses I got almost immediately. Ben, you don't actually believe that, do you? That the players came up with this? All I can tell you is it's the word, right? Is it revisionist history that's being written? I tend to think not, because, again, I know the people that have been in front of that team so far this year. And no, I don't just drink the local Kool-Aid just to do it. Believe me. And another point I'll make, is this publicity just for publicity's sake? I don't believe so. I did make the point that this is now twice in roughly 10 weeks that the Cajuns football program has been a national topic of discussion. First, it was the family-friendly concessions prices, and now it's this. In both cases, what I see happening is an athletic department, a football program, and an athletic foundation that are making internal decisions that they think are in the best interest of each of those entities, and all of them together, tied together. And it's getting national publicity because it's either completely revolutionary or it's a little bit off the wall. But in either case, it ain't being done elsewhere. So I guess what I'm saying is I give some credit there. They're not doing these things for the national publicity, but I think it ends up that way. But Larry called in, and look, Larry's point is fair. He says the way that this thing seems is that the players are being forced to give this money. And if I'm not from this area, I didn't grow up loving this program, why should I have to? All right, the point I made there is that it's more about looking forward than looking back. And again, this is just where I come from. Please, by all means, let me know where you come from on this. 706-0111. I left the example of Ruff and Rodri. I'm not stupid enough to think that giving $50 is going to help you become a restaurant magnate in the town that you played college football one day. No, it's not about the $50. But I do think it's about the things that you can do to put yourself crossing the path of successful people. I mean, isn't that kind of the point of college, right? To prepare yourself for life after college and your professional career. And how many of these Cajuns players are going on to play ball? I don't know, 2%, 3%. Maybe if Napier and company keep recruiting like they are, it'll grow to 4 or 5%, but that's reality. If you are a donor and that puts you in certain situations, I know you're a player, you're likely to be anywhere that donors are, potentially anyway. But I think there's an opportunity that can be had by involving yourself with something like the local athletic foundation, anything into the local community that, I mean, is it really that much different than, I mean, I don't know. How many kids in high school decided they wanted to be a part of the National Honor Society? They wanted to be a part of the Beta Club. They wanted to do this, that, and the other. Well, hey, there's a fee associated with doing this. Yeah, they went to mommy and daddy, most of them, to get that done. But what's the real difference, I guess, would be my point. So for me, I'm not going to tell you that it's no deal at all, but it's more toward that end of the spectrum for me. I get the bad optics nationwide. I do. But I think it's a little bit self-serving. And actually, I thought that was one of Larry's best points, if you will. He drove home the differentiation between what we're talking about now and the pay-for-play issue. Because if you see those two as intertwined, I can't help you. That's just foolish. And it's self-serving. So I don't know. It's an interesting story that's grabbing publicity because it doesn't really happen anywhere else. I haven't done the legwork, so you'll have to excuse me here, but it's been suggested to me that this type of thing does exist at certain programs, but not in the form of a direct contribution from a student athlete. More like their contribution, in air quotes, that money has been baked into the scholarship, right? And so basically it's a way to milk a little bit more out of some of the donors that you actually already have. Again, that's been suggested to me by people that know more than me. I haven't done the legwork on that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. But this is the first time that I can remember hearing a college coach said that, you know what, we're going to have it from every scholarship player on the team. Yeah, he walked it back from mandatory to strongly encouraged, but I think it's an interesting topic. All right, we've got that topic open for discussion, and we'll have it that way between now and 6:30. But trust me, we got a lot of great additional content to get to. At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, Mike Scarborough will be with us to talk LSU fall camp, a little LSU Cruden as well. We'll throw shade in the 5 o'clock hour. Alex Bregman's involved, and James Harden's involved. It's a Houston thing. Hopefully you'll understand, and we'll get back to the Saints preseason, all in our 5 o'clock hour. But before any of that, on the other side of this break, it's a national story for a reason. And so we had to bring on a guest who is kind of in the center of the whole discussion and the debate, Lee DeLeon. He is the executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation, and he'll be on B2BS next. So stick around. More Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
Let's get back to more of Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports, where we practically wrote the rules of football on 103.7 The Game.
And back out to Rufino's on the River. Okay, doing our best. I know we promised you we would have Lee DeLeon of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. It's the time of the show and the day that I get to give you my favorite made-up word. Jeff Palermo taught it to me the better part of 10 years ago. We are efforting Lee DeLeon. When we get him, we'll put him through to you. But certainly we've been rehashing that time and again throughout our show today. I still think it's more toward no big deal at all as opposed to a big deal and a fuss, but it has made national headlines, that much is certain. I know this. I want to get into LSU fall camp, and I've got that earmarked a lot more for our 5 o'clock hour. This has been a good week on the other side of the basin. There's been an opportunity for star players on defense to practice for the first time, to return to practice. Joe Burrow has come back. About the only downside, it seems like there's a little bit of attrition the O-line is undergoing. They're not going to have, reportedly, for at least 2 months, the services of Cardale Thomas as a reserve offensive guard. Doesn't look like a couple of O-linemen are straight. And just like that, as I start talking LSU, let's go back to this side of the basin and talk some Raging Cajuns. Live radio, baby. Nothing like it. All right, out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. He is the executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. Certainly a group in the news today. Lee DeLeon is with us. Lee, welcome back in. How are you?
Hey, good. We haven't talked since the day that I got hired, I think. So good to be back on. Thanks for having me. Excited to talk about the Raging Cajuns.
So take me back to Wednesday. By all indications, you were meeting with the team. And are we being told correctly that in the aftermath of that, the team collectively, the players, made a decision that they wanted to find a way to contribute in some form or fashion?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So I talked to the team on Wednesday at about 10 a.m. and just talked about the Raging Cajun Athletic Foundation and tried to educate them, do a little RCAF 101, if you will. And they were awesome, the football players. Were really attentive and they were grateful. You know, I asked them, you know, hey, what's the first thing you say to a RCAF member when you meet him? You know, and everybody said, thank you. I said, exactly. You know, let's make sure that we're expressing gratitude. These are the people that pay for your scholarships and for these beautiful facilities and for your unlimited meals and your cost of attendance stipends and all those things. And just trying to get them to understand who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And that there's, you know, 2,000-3,000 loyal donors who invest in the student athletes at UL and try to make sure that they have the best experience possible. And so after I got done kind of trying to convey that message, Coach Napier got up and said, hey guys, this is really important. And, you know, we need to appreciate them and show our gratitude. And I would love for you guys to show your gratitude too by joining as well. You don't have to wait till you're an alum. We can do it right now, you know, and this is something I really encourage you guys to do. And they were excited about it. I mean, I was in the room and you could see it on their faces that they wanted to give back and they wanted to participate and they wanted to do their part to help. So it was a really special moment, to be honest with you. I thought it was extremely powerful and moving. And so I turned to Troy, the director of football operations, and I was like, man, I've never seen it like this. This is really special. This is powerful stuff. And so it was a very cool moment, and Coach Napier really had them fired up and excited to participate. And then the aftermath of that has not been as positive, but it was a really cool, positive moment.
Well, let's explore that, Lee. And it sounds like it was an incredibly inspirational moment from what you just described. To take it from there some 50 to 52 hours ago to where it is right now, to where some nationally are villainizing the program for it, what's your response to that?
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's discouraging because it was an extremely positive thing that is being spun in a negative light. You know, our whole goal and intent, both myself and Coach Napier, was to, you know, educate, inform, and encourage the football team to, know what RCAF is and what our members and investors do and why it's important to give back and kind of the understanding, the concept of philanthropy and paying it forward, and you know, getting them to understand that now while they're student athletes and not, you know, waiting until they're 50 years old and they're making a bunch of money. But you know, and I said to them, I said, you know, I would love for, as soon as you guys graduate, you know, for you to give back and you to join and invest in the current student athletes that are getting their education. Hopefully you have such a great experience at UL that you're compelled and motivated and inspired to give back. And then Coach Napier came behind me and was like, hey, we don't have to wait. Let's do this right now, you know? And so, again, it was an extremely positive, powerful moment. And I hate that somehow, some way, it's being portrayed as a negative thing.
Talking now with Lee DeLeon, the executive director for the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. I guess internally, and before some of this got spun in the direction it has, what did you get back from these players, whether they came to you individually? I mean, outside of that one moment, an explosion, as it kind of sounds like, what was some of the bounce back you got from those kids?
Well, it's interesting. After I was done speaking and Coach Napier finished, I started talking to Troy, and I kept getting interrupted like every few seconds because the players came by and they wanted to shake my hand. And eventually I just stopped trying to talk to Troy, and I literally shook every single player's hand. They were incredibly gracious and appreciative of my time and of what I had to say. And they came down, looked me in the eye, shook my hand, and said thank you. So, I mean, it was really cool. I mean, it was my first interaction with the football team. You know, I've only been here a month and hadn't gotten to do much with him. So I was blown away by how polite and courteous and respectful they were, how professional they were. Coach Napier's got them going in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. I haven't watched a play yet, but I have no doubt that we have a good team because they're incredibly respectful, courteous young men. And I was blown away by that and really, really pleasantly surprised and impressed by how polished and professional and gracious they were.
One more, if you don't mind, on the story du jour. Will the aftermath, if you will, and the way this has been spun nationally by some, will that change at all the way that you all continue to approach this internally?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, it was a surprise to me. I had no idea that it was coming, and I think they planned that, they meaning the football staff. And so this is something they've been thinking about for a while, and they just kind of unveiled it on Wednesday to the team in a really special moment. I think they still want to do it. I mean, I think the guys still want to give back and help. I think I saw Coach Napier say today that if they choose not to, then he'll pick up the cost for them. But, you know, if you think about it, and he said this, you know, it's $50 a year is the minimum membership in the RCAF. If you do the math, divide that by 12, it's $4.17 a month. And, you know, while these guys are on scholarship and they don't have jobs, they do now get a cost of living stipend that was passed by the NCAA a few years ago. And so we cover that for the, you know, all 85 scholarship football players. And so, you know, they have a little bit of discretionary income now that they didn't before because they couldn't get jobs. And, you know, if they came from a rough background, they may not be able to have any kind of spending money, but now they do. And they have some, you know, disposable income, if you will. Not a lot, but they have some. And it's up to them how they want to spend that. You know, if they choose to give $4.17 a month to join RCAF and become members of our fundraising organization, they can do that. And then, as Brian Magger said today, we have a soft match program internally where if you give half, if they give 25, the athletic department will match the other half and make them a $50 member. Or if they give 50, the athletic department will match the other half and make them a $100 member. So effectively, it doubles their donation. So then if you're talking $25 a month, you know, half of 417, right? So, you know, for $2 and what is that, 8 cents, $2.09 a month, they can join RCAF. So I think people are blowing this a little bit out of proportion. I understand the logic and why people would say, why are you forcing these people or strong-arming them? I can tell you as an eyewitness, he did not say that he was requiring it, okay? He said, hey, this is something I think we should do, and they seem to be bought in and excited about it. He did not say any kind of ramifications if you choose not to give. So I think people are going to give willingly, and I think that they're going to continue to do it.
Lee, while we've got you here, tell our listeners what all the RCAF will have going on in a big weekend in New Orleans in just about 2 weeks from today.
Well, I'm really excited about my first game in New Orleans, and what a huge matchup, like you said. There's two events Friday night. There's a big public event at a place called Tsunami in New Orleans that the Alumni Association is putting on. It's open to the public, and at 6 o'clock on Friday night, the 30th. And then the RCAF and the University Development Office do an invitation only deal at the World War II Museum at 5:30 for about 100 people. And then we're going to be going out to dinner that night with some select few donors and just trying to. Really get them excited about where the program's headed. And then Saturday morning, the game's at 11. There's a tailgate at 9 o'clock that's open to everybody. It's free for RCAF members and for the Alumni Association members, but it's just $10 for everybody else, and that's at the Superdome at 9 o'clock leading up to the game. So it's going to be an awesome weekend. I can't wait to watch our team play and to support these guys and hopefully see a historic upset in New Orleans.
Lee, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I understand not always easy with some of the news today, but you handled it with aplomb, my man. Thanks for coming back on.
Thanks, Ben. Looking forward to talking to you again. Appreciate it. Go Cajuns.
Lee DeLeon, Executive Director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. Clint, let's go no huddle style. Let's get right to the final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Here we go, and that final word is confusing. I understand, certainly it's a confusing storyline. I promise we'll talk a little more about it, but wanted to make sure we covered it from all angles so far. Yeah, we've done our best to do exactly that. Confusing, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back to Rufino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. It's a beautiful TGIF edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, continuing from Rufino's on the River on 1037 The Game. Yes, as you can imagine, Ben Love here, the famous Clint D, back in the 237 Roof Studios. We have been Cajuns heavy with the national news of the day. Would never neglect the LSU Tigers. Let's go get a live report. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, he is the owner, the purveyor, and one of the lead reporters for TigerBait.com, Mike Scarborough. How are you, Mike?
Hey, doing good. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well. And look, we are going to get to LSU, but I'll give you a whack at the pinata here. Your take on news that's really going national and viral with Billy Napier and these Cajuns.
Yeah, you know, I saw the initial report, and then, I of course, now it's you look down your Facebook feed, and everybody's linking to, you know, an opinion piece in USA Today, and I'm like, oh, man, this has gone national. You know, my first inkling was, is particularly after months of, you know, us doing some not necessarily investigative reporting, but, you know, there's always been the debate about players and spending money and grant and aid and the tuition match that they get, how many of players are on Pell Grants. And, of course, now, you know, LSU with the big nutritional center. You know, a lot of college athletes, particularly football players, they actually have a lot of discretionary income. So, but then I also think it's another thing to force them to join a club or a booster group. You know, I don't know if you're trying to indoctrinate them or get them used to paying it, and I think that's what was his motivation, to keep them paying once they graduate and move on and have them involved in the foundation after the fact. But I don't know if that's the route to go. It's almost like, you know, teachers having to join a union if they're necessarily against being in a union.
Fair enough. All right, we'll go to LSU because, again, we've been neglecting the Tigers for about an hour now. So I think the news of the week is just about everybody seems to be coming back healthy, with the exception of Cardale Thomas, a couple of offensive linemen. Tell us how these guys have looked. It's been Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton, even Joe Burrow on the offensive side, and most recently Caleb Von Chaisal.
Yeah, I've been hoping to run into Jack Marucci because I know they keep statistics. And, you know, I'm sure they have a line where they've got an over and under of those types of injuries and what you can expect routinely every August. But you're right, getting Fulton back earlier in the week, Delpit back, Chaisal back yesterday, Burrow after, you know, missing so many practices last week, and then Monday was – you know, my phone was burned up. Man, I'm hearing Burrow's got a separated shoulder, and they had to pop it in, and Divinity's the one that hit him, and, you know, Orgeron wanted to kick him. I mean, there was so many rumors out there that it was a good thing that Burrow showed up at practice and ended it all. But, you know, look, I haven't seen anything out there, you know, that has, you know, had me sway from thinking that this is going to be an exceptional football season for LSU. Tomorrow, the second scrimmage is always the biggie. You know, the main thing you want to get to tomorrow is you want to hear, particularly now that Burrow's back, is that the offense is more successful. the defense is always going to have their way in the first scrimmage. That's just, it's almost never that you hear that the offense performs at a high level in the first scrimmage like they did last Saturday. And of course, it was Miles Brennan and Peter Parrish running the show. So, main thing tomorrow is offense perform better with Burrow and come out of there with no major injuries. And then school starts next week, or camp's already broke, so they're in classes, and then they're bound by the 20-hour or work week. So from there, you start to get everybody's legs back slowly but surely, and then start getting ready for Georgia Southern.
Talking LSU football with our guy Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. How about another new hire and another, I guess, apple that's kind of plucked from the Saints tree, if you will. First, we know it was Joe Brady, and now Bill Johnson along that defensive line. What's he bringing to the table?
Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm not throwing shade on purpose at Les Miles, but I don't see Les Miles pivoting that way and going out and saying who's available right now with that type of resume that I can bring him on an interim basis while my defensive line coach, who's in a power wheelchair, rehabs from two torn patellas. It's kudo to Ed Orgeron to finding this guy. And it's, I mean, if you're a defensive lineman at LSU, you're like, holy smokes. I mean, you've got a group where everybody looks to be healthy now or close to 100%. You've got the staff that you've got. You've got Ed Orgeron, of course, is a defensive line coach. You've got Christian Locatour out there. You got his former player out there from USC that's going to be a coach for years to come. And now you're bringing in an NFL veteran with, a Super Bowl ring. So, and coached that group to the Super Bowl last year. So, no, that's just crackerjack. So, Fioko, Lawrence, that whole group, they got to be excited. And then that frees up Orgeron to do more than just what he's been having to do with defensive linemen at practice.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. That was a topic I know during SEC media days. Coach O said, I want to be, or maybe I guess he had to be, more involved with the D-line. Tell me about that dynamic and exactly what he can do and more of his executive role now on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when that's your position, it's like when Stu Draw and Grimes and anybody else that was there coaching the offensive line under Les Miles. Well, Les Miles was the former offensive lineman, and that was his baby as well. So when practice was there, you always knew Les Miles would be around that group. It's no different for Ed Orgeron. Or Nick Saban at Alabama, he's a defensive backs guy. So, he certainly knows defensive line coaches. That's obvious. I mean, you can debate the if it was a wise move to initially bring in Pete Jenkins, but there's no denying his resume and everybody else that he's brought in. So, and he knows what Johnson's capable of. So, yeah, no, I you look at this staff and it's like, man, if you think there's a weak link, there's another guy that's actually assisting at that position. And with all the analysts you've got on the field now, I mean, the staff from top to bottom is strong as heck. And there is something to be said for assistant coaches that are excellent recruiters and maybe not as known as being great on-the-field coaches when you've got that many guys on the staff now. And Tommy Robinson, Mickey Joseph. I mean, Mickey Joseph has come a long way in just 3 years as a wide receivers coach. So, excellent staff at LSU right now.
Mike, let's go to the offensive line. And if you take into consideration both the starters and the depth, is this a group that is a position of strength for the LSU offense or more of a question mark for you?
Which group?
Offensive line.
Oh yeah, no. That's the number one. It's the weakest link on the football team. You can go position by position, and there's multiple positions on the team where you can say, is this possibly the best group at this position in years? But the offensive line is obviously the worry spot. And, you know, of course, Cardell Thomas goes down this week. I don't know that if they were necessarily expecting him to be a guy this season, but I do think that they thought he could play some. But, you know, it's really primarily a group of guards, and you've got multiple guards having to be your tackles. Deculus at right, Sadiq Charles at left. Of course, Cushenberry and Damon Lewis are your two best. And then trying to find that that right guard, and it's like, you know, is it a situation where they wanted someone to move Adrian McGee out and take the spot over, or how are they going to juggle it? And, of course, you know, the last thing you want to hear is that a Cushenberry or anyone has got an injury that's going to cause them to miss any kind of time.
Hey,
there's no depth.
And I'm with you on that. Before we part ways, Mike, you mentioned that tomorrow the second scrimmage is always a big one, and the offense needs to take a step forward. Give our listeners a couple of players that you'll be kind of monitoring, guys that you want to hear their stats. It'll be important for them to have a good scrimmage.
You know, I know just not just this scrimmage and whatever stats they're going to give to the media. And, of course, Orgeron will meet with us afterwards. But first game, Georgia Southern, of course, second game at Texas. I'm really curious to see if the tight ends, and now that you've got these tweener types with Stephon Sullivan, Thaddeus Moss is finally healthy, what that position looks like. The number of running backs that are now lined up at wide receiver. Gary James still holds the season record of running back receptions in the year at 50. That goes all the way back to 1985. That's incredible that stat is still hanging out there. So Leonard Fournette told me the other day that he thinks there's several running backs that can break that record this year. So, and then you got the wide receiver group that's, you know, Jamar Chase is going to – I think he's going to have an incredible sophomore year. Terrace Marshall's 100%. Justin Jefferson. You got Trey Palmer back healthy and at camp this week. You know, you've just got, you know, Racy McMath has been singled out several times by Orgeron. You know what, Burrow's going to be your leader and your senior. And then the running back group, I mean, everybody's, of course, foaming at the mouth to see John Emery. But, man, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Emery, Tyrion Davis-Price, Leonard Fournette, you talk to some of the players in these interviews, every interview opportunity, you start asking them about guys and, you know, Leonard Fournette is very much asserting himself, and I think he's going to be a guy that is going to get some more touches this year. So they've got a real big luxury there.
Mike, it's always fun catching up. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hope to do it again sometime early in the football season.
Hey, anytime you need me, just holler.
That's the man, Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. And let's talk quickly before we exit stage left in this segment. How about two somewhat unheralded upperclassmen? One of them I almost completely forgot about until that conversation. So before about 2.5 minutes ago, I don't know that I had thought about the name Racy McMath in a hot minute. Just going to be honest with you. When I think about the options at receiver, in my mind, in order, it goes Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Terrace Marshall, and then from there, there's some guys that got to prove it. But some guys with great opportunities as well. Jontre Kirkland, Trey Palmer, completely had forgotten about Racy McMath and his just absolute beastly physical stature. So he's got an opportunity. It's a great point by Mike. And the other one, his name is a little bit closer toward at least the middle of my brain, is Leonard Fournette. Had the first touch out of the backfield last year. What can he do as a pass-catching threat? Maybe some special teams as well. So upperclassmen that have been lapped on the depth chart but aren't gone and completely forgotten and buried. That's kind of a rarity in the recent history of LSU, if we're being honest with ourselves. Guys don't play, they transfer. And that's not just an LSU thing, right? Guys that typically make it to their fourth or fifth year and they're not the guy, a lot of times they're not around. So interesting he brought up those two names. All right, quick break. First of the hour, and when we return, time to throw shade. A couple of Houstonian athletes involved, Alex Bregman and James Harden. Don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Well, the place you want to celebrate life every Friday. Ravino's on the River on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Got to give it up as we come in, not only to great music, but back-to-back stellar interviews. Wasn't sure if it was going to happen with Lee DeLeon, but my man slid in right under the gun. Good interview and a tough spot. I think that's something we can all acknowledge, right? Whether this had the best of intentions or not, everything with the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation today has taken on a bit of a different light nationwide. Not universally, but to a number of people. And I get it. I do. So enjoyed Lee DeLeon coming aboard. And you just heard about 15 minutes worth there. Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, all about LSU fall camp. He calls the O-line the weakest position unit on the team. Threw out a couple of upperclassmen, Racy McMath, Leonard Fournette. This is a big scrimmage for them tomorrow. Big fall camp, frankly. For a couple of elder statesmen on the offense. And then gave his thoughts on this LSU defense that got a lot healthier over this past week. So if you missed any or all of those interviews, correct your error. Go to 1037thegame.com or our free mobile app, click or tap on demand, and listen in to Lee DeLeon or Mike Scarborough. That's our final planned interview for this hour. That means we have a lot of time for you. Dial us up when you're ready at 706-0111. We will talk Saints preseason football momentarily. But before any of that, it's time to take care of a daily tradition and remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the standing seam, metal awnings, the retractable shades and screens, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. You can also trust the management top-down, starting with Mark, to sit down with you, help you create a vision, and they'll fulfill that for you before the year 2020. But you want to up your patio game? You want to do it in that type of hurry? Well, you better hurry to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Houston, we've got a problem, and we've got a twofer, both from H-Town, as we throw shade today. Okay, only one of them is really a problem in Houston. Daryl Morey, general manager of the Houston Rockets, said earlier today he thinks that James Harden is a better scorer than MJ. Process that. Rewind the tape. And then run over it with the bus. And then back up the bus and run over it again. You got to be kidding me. The man has stretched the limits of what traveling is. Now, I'm not going to be a complete hater on James Harden. You want to tell me that he's a top, I don't know, 10 or 15 scorer of all time? I'll entertain that conversation. You force me to put him in a more elite classification than that? You force me to refine it and say he's a top five scorer of all time? We're going to have words there as well. Because all of a sudden, you're going to ask me to take somebody out of a grouping that would include who? MJ, that would include Kobe Bryant, and those are just recent era guys. I don't know that I would say LeBron is as natural a scorer as some of the best of all time to do it, but I could go to Jerry West. I could go, I mean, just there's so many players throughout the years, right? Oscar Robertson, so many guys. And you're going to try and force feed down my throat that James Harden is not only top 10, top 5, but that he is better than MJ. You know I got to throw shade at that comment. However, I can give and I can take. So I'll take a little bit here. And nobody knows this because I haven't said it on the program, but I did say to a very good and dear friend, have known him since I was 4 years old, that I thought Alex Bregman might not hit 30 home runs in a season again ever in his career after last year's landmark power season for the Houston Astros. So to my guy Jesse and to everyone else who just might have thought what I said aloud, Oh, boy. He's already got 29. He leads the team. And absolutely, that young man is going to get his 30th. Might even do it before the night is over. So, Alex Bregman, you got me, man. I made a black and white definitive statement. I didn't think you had that type of sustained pop in your bat. You clearly do. So the shade is being directed in my direction because Alex Bregman is here to stay with the power.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
It's really this simple, Clint. I got to start learning to live in a world of gray. Can't be black and white. Got to leave open the possibility that Alex Bregman might just be carrying the boomstick around for his career.
I think you should, Ben, especially considering the fact sometimes the takes you've had about preseason expectations, because I'm presuming this is when this happened. Honestly, sometimes your preseason predictions don't necessarily pan out all that well. I think this one is another prime example.
Oh, man, I'm going to punch you in the face the next time I see you. You're laughing. I'm not kidding. No, I am kidding. But, look, that's the definition of preseason, going out on a limb prognostications. And, yes, we have done many a prognostication on this program. In fact, we're just about due, Clint. I thought about that the other day. I thought about that. We need to come back to some of the book it takes in the college and the pro levels. I think you'd be all right with that.
I'd be more than all right with that, some because of the fact that there's going to be just a couple that are completely way off base, i.e. the time you said Adrian Peterson was going to be the leading rusher for the Saints.
All right. I'm going back to the original statement. I'm punching you in the face next time I see you. And with that, we got to come down the stretch of this segment. It's getting a little too violent in here, but it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully you're enjoying it as well. Phone lines will be open when we return. I'll get back onto the Saints train. I want to preview a little bit of that Week 2 preseason game Sunday against the Chargers and some bad luck. Speaking of the Bolts, one of their best defenders went down earlier today, and he might just be out for quite some time. We'll tell you all about it when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, celebrating life at Ruffino's on the River and only on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Ooh, yeah. There it is. Rockin' Clint on a Friday. Back into Ruffino's on the River. This is B2BS, Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. I do want to get back to the Saints. They've got a mid-Sunday afternoon date with the Los Angeles Football Chargers. One of the last games in the second week of the preseason, and there certainly are some things to test out. I think it's going to be primarily the Saints secondary that gets put to the test. The guy that will be throwing, maybe, some live bullets their way. He certainly has been, at least during practice this week on the West Coast, Phillip Rivers. And for all the love that Tom Brady, Drew Brees rightfully receive, and then I would say maybe as I kind of do a little bit of a bracketing game here, on the elder statesman end, it feels like it's Brady and it's Breeze. A guy that's been there certainly long enough, I would say, is Aaron Rodgers. Gets so much love in between those guys in terms of age and tenure is Phillip Rivers. Now, unlike those other three, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, not a ring on the finger of Phillip Rivers. Yeah, he's married, but he hadn't won the Vince Lombardi trophy. But he just continues to age tremendously. So Rivers certainly has an opportunity to maybe showcase some things and maybe point some holes in this secondary of the Saints that will allow them to correct moving forward. And I'll let you hear from him here. I just mentioned the guy seems to be aging pretty darn well, Rivers, on being called ageless.
I feel great mentally. Maybe he's talking about that. But, no, I do. I feel good physically, too. But, I think some of it, too, is, I don't know. I mean, Drew and Tom and all those guys that are up there – as far as age in this game, I think being around all these young guys all the time helps. It helps you, you know. I mean, they keep you energized and excited and fired up, and so it's been fun.
Rivers, it probably doesn't hurt that the guys also got, I don't know, Clint, how many is it? You could probably Google and figure it out. I'm pretty sure he has, I mean, I think like 6+ kids, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't he the guy that, you know, like the one guy in the NFL that's just married to one woman but still has like all those kids? Tell me I'm not wrong about this.
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I believe he's got 9 kids, too shy of having an offense or
Well done on your part. You keep making me want to take back the whole punch you in the face thing. And that right there, a step in the right direction. I one more from Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers. They were really good last year, and I mean really good. A little bit behind, though, the Kansas City Chiefs in that AFC West. And so Rivers was asked this year, I don't know if they'll win 12 games again or not, but are they capable of winning that division?
I think we're in a similar window as we were in from 06 to 09 when we won the division 4 years in a row. That doesn't mean it's going to just happen, but I do feel like we're in that window capability-wise. And we know what this division is, and Kansas City's kind of had it the last couple of years. They're going to be unbelievable. And Denver and Oakland are going to be teams to deal with. So I think we have the toughest division in the whole league, and that's where it starts for us, is finding a way to win the division.
I promise we will get around to talking Saints, but right now it's more about their opponent. In preseason week 2, the Los Angeles Chargers. I know you've seen this, Clint. I believe it's a foot fracture for Derwin James, dynamite young safety for the Bolts. And so obviously he'll be out for the remainder of this week of practice, Sunday's game. I would imagine several months as well. A lot of pictures I've seen with him in a boot, CD, and I don't think that's one of those precautionary boots. Looks like he'll be out for some time. That's a huge blow, and that's the toughest part of any team's preseason.
Exactly. It's probably the worst part about all this is, like, you're going to wind up having these things pop up in practice from time to time, just guys not necessarily stretching out, and they have these incidents kind of happen. But with a guy like Derwin James, an all-pro player, it's definitely unfortunate for them, especially considering what Philip Rivers was just talking about, capable of winning the division. Now, mind you, it's going to be tough to do against a Kansas City Chiefs team that looks to continue to be as good as they were last year, maybe come down a little bit, but it's still going to be a very tough competition between those two programs.
And so we'll get to the Saints, and I'll go outside of their secondary, areas that need to be probed a little bit. I'll continue to tell you running back, right? And Kamara doesn't really have much to prove. I think Latavius Murray started to show some good faith and generate some pretty good interest, I think, from fans with his performance against the Vikings. But they have some other guys, too, that will continue to get a shot. So, Clint, I'll get your 2 cents there. The Saints at running back this year. And the other thing I continue to throw in because I think it's important, Taysom Hill is not just a quarterback. I mean, the guy, he's got genes all over the place. He is part DNA of a tight end, part DNA of a running quarterback, right? Kind of gives you some touches that take away from maybe some of the pie that used to just go to Mark Ingram. So, again, I would throw that caveat in there, especially when the regular season comes to fruition. But your take on some of these backs and what you expect out of them come Sunday?
I mean, I think I'm expecting much of the same from last week. Obviously, I think Alvin Kamara is going to be playing maybe one series, if that, after he performed in that first preseason game. Besides that, you need to wind up seeing more of what you can do with a guy like Latavius Murray, because he's somebody that you need to kind of know what you're going to be getting into come week one. He looked good, especially whenever he was being used. We talked about a lot earlier in the week was the fact that this is a guy that's going to wind up being used more as an offensive weapon, not as much in the run game, but definitely being using a lot in the screen game as well, to where you're not having to, it's harder to prepare for Murray as opposed to what it was last year with Mark Ingram obviously being your guy who's going to wind up being 8 yards in a cloud of dust type running back, with Alvin Kamara being more of a scat back. I think it's going to be interesting to see from there.
I don't agree with that, though, and I thought that was part of – I know that's what I said on Monday. I thought you were with me at that point. Again, you're right on the fact that Murray showcased in the Vikings preseason game that he will become a pass-catching threat. But my point Monday is that's good because that's also a lot of what we saw, I think, through the years from Mark Ingram. I mean, seriously, I thought he did prove himself as an effective – screen pass guy, right? And not just somebody who was the 3 to 8 yards in a cloud of dust. So, again, I would just drive that point home. From my perspective, no, he's not Pierre Thomas. And, you know, no, he's not, certainly nobody really is Darren Sproles. But I thought he, you know, talking about Ingram, I thought he was underrated in that area as a pass catcher. So if Murray brings the physicality and also replicates that, that's a great thing.
And, you know, with that, I'm saying it's more like you're having him be more of an equal load as that kind of aspect. Whenever you look at Mark Ingram, he whenever he did do that, it was a surprise to the defense. He was used a lot more as a wheel route type running back, which we've seen a lot, and it works really well because of the fact that the defense isn't necessarily expecting it. With Latavius Murray, he can do both things very, very well. To where you're not, the defenses aren't going to be sure which way they're going to go with him. That's where I'm getting at.
I got you. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Why don't we do this? Let's get on board. We'll sync up back in the huddle quickly to the lab. We'll take our final break of the hour. When we return, by some popular demand, we're going to at least play some clips of our interview in the 4 o'clock hour. Make sure our 5 o'clock crowd gets to hear some commentary on the news story of the day, not just locally, but the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation, $50 a year from the UL football players. No longer mandatory, according to Dr. Brian Maggard and head football coach Billy Napier, but strongly encouraged. We caught up with RCA Executive Director Lee DeLeon in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll play some snippets of that on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Rufino's on the River and celebrating life with you on 103.7 The Game.
Raymond Parch III here, host of RP3 and Company.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back into Rufino's on the River. A couple of quick tidbits, one involving a former LSU Tiger. Then we got to replay some sound from the news of the day involving the Raging Cajuns. To that LSU part, though, Jarrell Martin. This one's fun for me. I've covered Jarrell since he was a junior in high school at Madison Prep in Baton Rouge, with 2 years at LSU, and was a late first-round pick of the Memphis Grizzlies. Today, Jarrell was scooped up by the Cleveland Cavaliers, so a former first-rounder out of LSU, now on a one-year, non-guaranteed deal. So his current deal, not as good as another former LSU Tigers, Naz Reid, who's with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Interesting, but big ups to Jarrell getting another crack at it with the Cleveland Cavs. Another interesting and late-breaking tidbit for you on a Friday. In the last 20 minutes, the NFL has reinstated Josh Gordon. And so the New England Patriots wide receiver, I don't know if he's a cat, but dude's got at least 6 lives. He's making his way toward 9. That's incredible. I say this, and I'm really not joking, but I don't know that any player in the league has gotten popped as often for smoking weed and weed-related incidents and just keeps getting to come back to the table. So somehow, some way, he must have fulfilled whatever quotient was required of him. And something else to consider for all those people out there drafting fantasy teams, everybody thinks that Julian Edelman going to own the roost there. I understand, no Gronk, but now Josh Gordon. Maybe, just maybe, he'll stay back in the fray for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. All right, CD, I've already built it up, so let's live up to the hype. We had a great interview with Lee DeLeon, executive director of the RCAF, addressing the news of the day. And first off, he gives some framework about his visit with the Cajuns football student-athletes on Wednesday.
I talked to the team on Wednesday at about 10 a.m., and just talked about the Raging Cajun Athletic Foundation and try to educate them, do a little RCAF 101, if you will. They were awesome. The football players were really attentive and they were grateful. You know, I asked them, you know, hey, what's the first thing you say to a RCAF member when you meet them? You know, and everybody said, thank you. I said, exactly. You know, let's make sure that we're expressing gratitude. These are the people that pay for your scholarships and for these beautiful facilities and for your unlimited meals, and the cost of attendance stipends and all those things, and just trying to get them to understand who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And that there's, you know, 2,000-3,000 loyal donors who invest in the student athletes at UL and try to make sure that they have the best experience possible.
We'll get some more from Lee DeLeon. What was said after his speech to the team? So I know that he had just addressed kind of what that meeting was about, but here was the aftermath, and this part feels pretty powerful.
So after I got done kind of trying to convey that message, Coach Napier got up and said, "Hey guys, this is really important, and you know, we need to appreciate them and show our gratitude, and I would love for you guys to show your gratitude too by joining as well. You don't have to wait till you're an alum. We can do it right now, you know. And this is something I really encourage you guys to do." And they were excited about it. I mean, I was in the room, and you could see it on their faces that they wanted to give back and they wanted to participate and they wanted to do their part to help. So it was a really special moment, to be honest with you. I thought it was extremely powerful and moving, and so I turned to Troy, the director of football operations, and I was like, "Man, I've never seen it like this. This is really special. This is powerful stuff." And
so Napier clearly rallying the troops. He's a college football coach. That's his job. But is this the right cause to rally around? I guess that's been the crux of the national conversation, the debate, and we're talking columns in USA Today. I know Billy Napier went on the Paul Feinbaum show, and so with all of this starting to spin, I won't say out of control, but certainly spinning in a direction that wasn't always positive and hasn't always been, here is Lee DeLeon's reaction to the national media and really what they're putting out on wax.
You know, our whole goal and intent, both myself and Coach Napier, was to, you know, educate, inform, and encourage the football team to, know what RCAF is and what our members and investors do and why it's important to give back, and kind of understanding the concept of philanthropy and paying it forward, and, you know, getting them to understand that now while they're student athletes and not, you know, waiting until they're 50 years old and they're making a bunch of money. But, you know, and I said to them, I said, you know, I would love for, as soon as you guys graduate, you know, for you to give back and you to join and invest in the current student athletes that are getting their education. Hopefully you have such a great experience at UL that you're compelled and motivated and inspired to give back.
We'll take at least one, if we've got time, two more. The best of our interview with Lee DeLeon earlier today on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Despite everything, the reaction from the players still seems to be fairly single-minded. According to DeLeon here, they still want to do it.
I think they still want to do it. I mean, I think the guys still want to give back and help. I think I saw Coach Napier say today that if they choose not to, then he'll pick up the cost for them. But, you know, if you think about it, and he said this, you know, it's $50 a year is the minimum membership in the RCAF. If you do the math, divide that by 12, it's $4.17 a month. And, you know, while these guys are on scholarship and they don't have jobs, they do now get a cost of living stipend that was passed by the NCAA a few years ago. And so we cover that for the, you know, all 85 scholarship football players. And so, you know, they have a little bit of discretionary income now that they didn't before because they couldn't get jobs. And, you know, if they came from a rough background, they may not be able to have any kind of spending money, but now they do.
You know, that point was really driven home as well early in this hour. We had Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Same type of reaction. Now, he wasn't exactly in favor of forcing people to have to donate toward a booster club. And I know that's been the narrative that's been kind of spun, in my opinion, a little bit nationally. But the word mandate makes people think certain things. And that was definitely a faux pas on the part of Napier. And started, you know, part of the language, excuse me, that he used on Wednesday. But he backtracked that and crawfished it today, I think appropriately, my opinion. Strongly encouraged. Sounds like it was a team building and rallying type of moment. But, you know, Scarborough's point, at least the one that coincided with what DeLeon just had to say, is these guys have a little bit more money on their hands than you think. Or maybe more appropriately, than they used to, right? Due to the cost of attendance stipend. In fact, Scarborough went on to say that, I'm assuming that's he and his guy, Brian Lazar, they've had some opportunities to do investigative work toward that end. And they've been studying up on just how much disposable income some of these kids now are getting. If you're now receiving $1,900 a month, and that's been one of the figures I've seen for these Cajuns football players, man, it's not nothing. That's what I will tell you. I'm not going to tell you that it's all that they deserve. I'm not going to say that the door needs to be shut on the conversation of paying players, because this conversation to me isn't one and the same about paying players. But it's been interesting all day long as people have been going back and forth. Another thing Mike Scarborough said, you go up and down your Twitter feed, and, well, that's what everybody's tagging right now. They've got their own commentary. Certainly our listeners and our informed guests today have had theirs as well. So it's been a pleasure to share as much of that as is humanly possible. So here's our deal. We've had just about 2 hours that have come and gone. We got a half hour to go. Clint and I want to do a little reacting to the week that was. At the top of our 6 o'clock hour, LSU, UL, the Saints, might try to fit in a little bit of that little engine that could Little League World Series team from River Ridge. Yeah, they took it on the chin today, but what a run that has been. We'll explore all the space from everything that has happened in the world of South Louisiana sports from August the 12th until today, August the 16th. But so much of the important stuff we've been looking forward to, we know, is yet to come. And that includes the Cajuns, the Saints season, includes LSU's much anticipated 2019 campaign as well. One other thing we'll do in our 6 o'clock hour, we'll go Q&A replay style with Jordy Collada. He was with us yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour and was dynamite. So we'll bring him back and serve him up on a platter, Rufino's on the River style, for the 6 o'clock crowd. You're going to catch all that if you stick with us. So don't go anywhere. Ben and Clint taking you home and quite literally into your weekend. It's time to celebrate. We got more Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back at you on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Rolling out into our final hour of the show of the week. It's a great time to be alive. And out of Rufino's on the River, I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. For the next half hour, join, per the usual, by my man, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. You've heard a lot from us. You'll hear some more. But we always love hearing from you. Let's start the hour with a quick trip out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Frank, my man, thanks for waiting through the break. What you got for us?
Well, where you want to start? You pick a topic.
Let's go Saints first.
Saints, I'm not worried about the Saints. All pieces will fall into place. I'm not particularly worried about the secondary because all those pieces have to, you know, find themselves. I wasn't impressed, to tell you the truth, but it is what it is. I know PP and Lattimore, all of these things are going to find their way into where they are.
LSU football, healthy again on defense and at quarterback, offensive line, not as much.
That's the only problem. That's what worries me. If you can't keep Joe Burrow upright, you're going to have problems. They need to shore up everything they can. But if Joe Burrow is going to be moved into a new system where the flankers slash running backs are going to be moving out into the flat, we will have to see.
Going split screen with Frank. I like this to open up the third hour. I'll give you the final topic, and really it's been the topic du jour. The Raging Cajuns, I don't want to call it a fiasco, but certainly an internal decision that has become very public nationally and not universally agreed with, not even a little bit.
Well, you see, this is too easy. I'm glad you brought me there. He's a transplant. People from South Louisiana say what they feel, and they say what's on their mind. What he said was exactly what shouldn't have been said. If you're coming from a university that is paying for you to eat, live, and house in that university, you should feel a debt because they're allowing you to do what you're doing. Granted, it's a scholarship, I get it, or whatnot, but this is for free. A lot of kids have to pay an exorbitant amount of money to do what you're doing, i.e. get an education, but a lot of kids have to pay. The least you can do is pay it forward / pay it back.
You know, if you listen to my lead, I think you know that I agree, and I'm on a little more your end of the spectrum, but there are many who don't exactly see it that way. I'm going to take that as a jump-off point and riff on the subject a little longer. But, Frank, it's always a pleasure, and you know that.
Hey, brother, too easy.
There you go. Not a lot of people will give that kind of leeway to. Might be 4, 5, 6 callers that we have regularly in this program. Our guy Keith calls in, is really good as well. He doesn't like to go quite that long, but I like his takes too. So, and those are just two of our many callers that bless us with their presence. But I'll jump off on that last point. My feeling is this. I think the whole point of college is to further yourself for life after college and in your career. By no stretch is donating $50 going to help you get a job down the line. However, becoming a part of that organization could absolutely help you network and find a job, a career path, a financial backer for your idea. You never know. To me, that's the whole point of college. It's not just the education, the experiences, but it's the opportunity to network. And this allows them that. However, I get the idea, and I'm sensitive. It's 2019. Don't we all have to be a little sensitive, or we either get arrested or the moral police beat the crap out of us? I know. But I'm sensitive to the fact that, yes, you probably can't force people to do that. And due to, I guess, the corrections that were made by Napier today, it seems pretty clear to me nobody is being forced. If a kid comes up to him privately, he said, look, I'll foot the bill myself, or just tell him not to worry about it. He said it hadn't happened yet. Lee DeLeon joined us and said, these kids still want to do it. It was their idea. It was an inspirational team moment. I have no reason to call BS on any of that. And I've gotten a lot of those texts today. Ben, you got the wool pulled over your eyes. You don't understand. You're not really buying that. Well, yeah, I am. And as Lee DeLeon also further explained on our show, they could pay half and the university will do what they call a soft match. This could be a $25 annual investment to be a part of the athletic foundation that gives them upwards of maybe $1,800, $1,900 a month. Frank referred to it as a debt that they owe. Not everybody will see it that way. I kind of do. And I'm not sure everybody fully understood or agreed with the analogy that I gave, but I'm going to give it one more time because it just slaps me in the face as being obvious. I am right now doing a show from a restaurant that was spawned by a guy who was from Thibodeau, played LSU football, made the connections with longtime LSU backer T.J. Moran, cut his teeth at T.J. Ribs under T.J. Moran, then started along with Jerry DiNardo, DiNardo's restaurant, became Rufino's, and boom, here we are. He's got two locations. Did Ruffin always have that ability outside of being an LSU football player? Maybe he did. But does he have that opportunity if he's not an LSU football player and reaching out and making connections in the community? I would argue no. Again, that's just kind of how I think about it. Let's get back out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. James, I appreciate you calling back, man. What you got for us?
Okay, on the donation by the college football players over at UL. Okay, I call bull on the fact that they got together and said, we want to do this. Okay, first-hand experience, I call bull on this one. So him trying to say that there was the kid choice, it was not. It ended up being such a fiasco that they said, well, we're asking them to donate, but at first it was supposed to be mandatory. when it first occurred.
Oh, James, hold tight. I'm forced to at least ask this. When you say firsthand experience, as in you know somebody on the team, or due to an experience you had in your past, you can relate to it. What do you mean?
I have a nephew on the team.
Okay, all right.
So I know firsthand of what went down as far as, you know, this $50. And the 50 bucks is not going to break anyone. That is true. But you should not require anyone to do this. You know, a debt to the university. The university does not have to offer the kids the scholarship. You know? Plain and simple.
I think it's a very fair point. I do see this other side of it, and I'm glad you called in with some firsthand experience. I appreciate you clarifying, too, James. Just want to make sure what we were talking about here.
Yeah. You know, so they don't have to offer the kids the scholarship. You know, it's nice that they do, but the kids are doing something for the school. Also, they're going out and they're playing football. The school has made some money off of their football team in the past. I don't know if they did last year, but they have in the past, right?
There's no question. James, I'd love to continue it. I got to hit a break, but thank you for calling us. Seriously.
Have a good one.
You too, man. There you go. So there's the other side of the coin, right? And I've been telling you for the better part of 2.5 hours that this to me isn't that big of a deal. I believe the story that's being presented today, James is saying he knows it to be a different story, or at least a different version of it. So to be continued. Likely not today, as we've got a Q&A replay with Jordy Collada on the other side. Some dynamite calls to kick off our 6 o'clock hour. To heck with the week that was. Talking about the topic that is. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in to Rufino's on the River on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
It's Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at... This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in one final time. And yeah, we're having a lot of fun at Rufino's on the River. We're going to continue those vibes and that feeling as we are awfully close to the weekend. Seeing way too many people having fun, the martinis, the wine, the beer, and oh yeah, by the way, some of the best appetizer options that you'll see anywhere. The crab meat cheesecake, it just starts there, trust me. This place is popping right now on a Friday. But as Clint and I finish our journey today on this TGIF edition of the program, I'm going to bring back one of the best interviews we've had of the week, and a guy that does a great job on the other side of the basin, Jordy Collada. Host of Off the Bench, he and T-Bob Hebert, those guys are everywhere now. It emanates out of BR, but they're in Alexandria, New Orleans, and we had them in Lafayette yesterday for our 6 o'clock crowd. How about a Q&A replay with Jordy Collada? Big news of the day, Caleb Von Chaisal back out at practice. Look, I don't think anybody was too worried about his availability come August 31, but from everything you've seen and that you've heard, Jordy, your expectations for just how he's going to perform this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, man, he flew through the rehabilitation of that knee injury that he sustained last year in the opener versus Miami. And Ben, when you look at it, man, he really changed the whole dynamic of the defense when he left. I mean, you lost the only true pass rusher that you had, somebody from a individual standpoint, from a one-on-one standpoint, could get into the backfield and create some havoc for a passer. And, you know, LSU's identity really from a defense changed when he was out. So they've been very careful with him. Here in the early parts of fall camp, he had some LASIK surgery just over a month ago. I think there's some, you know, you can't have any full contact within a month of that. So they've been making sure and keeping him out on that. And, you know, just the process of getting that knee right and feeling confident on it, because he physically looks like you know, like he looked a couple of years back, but now he's a little bit older, he's a little bit wiser, and coming off that knee injury, he looks like he's settling into 100%. So I'm like you. Physically, I'm not worried about him. I hope they handle him the correct way here in camp and can keep his legs underneath him for the full 12 regular season games.
We'll stick with the revolving injury door. Caleb Von Chaisal back in. Unfortunately, we learned yesterday that big Cardale Thomas is out. And your show reporting it's likely to be about a two-month absence with an ankle injury. Sucks for the young man, no question about it. But what does it mean for James Craig and his depth up front?
Yeah, look, I think that's where it hits you the most is the depth. And he was a quality depth player that they were developing here through camp. He missed some time early on. He had gotten banged around a little bit, but he got back on the field here. And by all accounts, he was really doing a good job of playing consistent every day. You know, he had diving into it. He had gotten into his playbook and really knew what he was supposed to do mentally. And Ben, you know, the story of the offseason for him was all the weight that he had lost. So physically, he really looked the part. I hate it for him because he was the face of that class of 2019. He still got a chance to make it back, possibly for the Auburn game on October 12th. But you know, you start asking a true freshman to rehab a surgically repaired limb and then try to get back mentally to SEC football. It may be too tough of a task to ask Cardell at this point. So, you know, you hate to lose his freshman season. But it looks like he could be a strong possibility for a red shirt now after losing him yesterday.
Continuing our talk with Jordy Collada, all in on LSU football. Joe Burrow in year two as a starter, how will he be improved? And maybe the way that they use him, how do you expect that to be different in 2019, Jordy?
Well, look, just from a development standpoint, Ben, you know, I was talking to a room today, and you know, you think about this. A year ago, he was still competing for the job. He was still trying to settle into South Louisiana and figure out the culture and kind of, you know, even where to eat. He didn't know anybody in the locker room, and he was competing for the job. I mean, he still wasn't the starting quarterback. You fast forward a summer now here and really becoming the leader the way that he played in the second half of the season last year. You bring in a guy like Joe Brady, who he really has good chemistry with and understands what he's trying to do. You know, Joe Burrow is the leader of this team. You and I have been doing radio for a while now, and every offseason when we talk about expectation around LSU, we're always confident around the playmakers on the outside. They usually have a high-end pass rusher. They usually got an elite running back. They usually have a playmaker on both sides of the ball, a defensive back and wide receiver. But it's different this year because of Burrow, because of the quarterback, because of the confidence that they have with their guy under center. And I think he shares that confidence. You know, he went to the Manning Passing Academy over the summer, and everybody was there. Herbert from Oregon was there, Jake Fromm, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, all the quarterbacks, all the high-end guys around college football were there. And Burrow was right there with him, step for step, making every throw. And I think different that they'll do with him this year, Ben, is they'll run him a little bit more because he's athletic. And I think this is twofold. They want to put the pressure on the defense and keep them honest and make them game plan for both Burrow, his feet and his arm. But they have confidence in their backup, in Miles Brennan. And not to say that, you know, that they want to lose Burrow, but if he goes down or if he needs a series or two off, they're okay with putting Brennan out there. And they know he's got to play some good football and he's got to play and get some quality snaps to develop him for the future and make him a viable backup, but he's had a really good off season too. So, you know, it's been a long time since you and I could say that LSU is confident at the quarterback spot, but they are, and they've got it set up to play down the line with a guy like Peter Parrish kind of waiting in his fold, going to wear a red shirt. You know, he shouldn't take a meaningful snap for another couple of years, and now finally you've got a system, a funnel at that spot that you can keep him groomed and keep him ready to go.
I want to switch gears a little bit. You guys have had great guests, you along with T. Bob Hebert, and I want you to share some of what you've learned, I guess. But the governor, John Bel Edwards, came on and discussed that $450 million renovation for the Superdome. Your takeaways from talking with John Bell?
Well, I love the relationship between the state and the franchise. You know, it's been so fruitful for both. And, you know, to make a commitment like that and upgrade that facility, which has become, you know, just a mainstay and a staple of the New Orleans skyline, you know, and keep the Saints here for 30-plus years, I think is very exciting for South Louisiana sports fans, or really sports fans all along the Gulf Coast who cheer on the black and gold. So we appreciated the governor stopping by and sharing that news with us. He was down at training camp earlier this week with the whole gang. You know, he took part in the quarterback challenge with Drew Brees and Brees' son, Baylen Brees, and he talked about those experiences. So it's good to see that office and that franchise have an open an open relationship that, that looks like it's going to go deep into the future. He was very complimentary of Miss Gale. You know, I mean, you know, Ben, you and I at first were fans first. That's the reason why we got into our trade, into our industry. And, you know, just from a fan standpoint of the New Orleans Saints, how can't you love what she's doing for South Louisiana professional franchises? I think quickly she's becoming one of the most powerful women in sports, and she's doing a great job of representing our area. And for the governor to talk a little bit about those backroom talks and how they got to the position where they were this morning on voting on that $450 million restoration to the dome and kind of the phases on how that'll operate before the 2024 Super Bowl, was pretty cool to hear yesterday on our airwaves. So we were very grateful for that.
I'm right there with you, Jordy, for sure, on Gale Benson. And let me give you an interesting base of comparison. I'll get your take. I just spent a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and they moved what was Turner Field out to the burbs, man. And now they've got SunTrust Park out in Marietta. Hard to envision New Orleans ever not having Saints football right where the dome is. It's great that they don't have to go out and build something new. It's great that they get to give a facelift to what's become a monument in this state.
I've always said I think championship games and sports championships that travel their championship, New Orleans has to be a destination for them. I mean, just the ease of access from the city, from the dome, from the hotels, the restaurants, everything in walking distance, how cool the culture of the city is, the music, the food. You know, it's to me, it's built for this. It's absolutely built for this. So for the city and the state to embrace that, it makes a ton of sense. And, you know, it's cool to see that happening.
All right, let's finish with your interview. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, joined the program. Right now we're talking with Jordy Collada on 103.7 The Game. What was that like watching T-Bob grill his dad?
Well, it's always cool to get those two together because they've got a great way of communicating with each other. They get the best out of one another when you're talking about just kind of stories. And for Bobby to go deep into the vault and talk about training camp stories from when he was in Atlanta, when Buddy Ryan brought the Eagles down and some of the stories that they had, the two-a-days under Jim Mora down in Hammond, and then, you know, getting his analysis on this team. I mean, he's fantastic as far as a guy that can break down the game. Very, very smart, and talking about where New Orleans is, was always cool to hear from the Cannon. And, you know, this Saints team truly is all in on Super Bowl or bust. And they've had just devastating finishes to the last couple of years on how they finished the regular they finished the playoff run. And, you know, it's Bobby breaking down what the pressure is on some of these veterans this season. And it's interesting to think about, man, when you think how, you know, the miracle in Minnesota, the no call in the NFC Championship, and here we go again for another year with Breeze and Peyton trying to make a run at this thing. It's going to be a hell of a ride.
Know how busy you are, Jordy. Thanks again for the time. And, look, continued success to you and T-Bob. Keep it rolling over there.
Same to you, Ben. Congratulations on the award this season. You got a great show and deserve to be recognized. And I appreciate you always having me back on.
I told you. I thought you would dig that. So we made sure to run it back on of Friday. It's been just about a perfect show. The only thing we didn't have today that we have in weeks past, well, our guest appearance from Ruff and Rodriguez. Haven't seen Ruff today. That means our guy's grinding in BR. Don't fret. We'll get him back Monday in his usual 5:15 spot. But I want to thank Ruffin and everybody here, Chris Muffalette and company, for rolling out the red carpet. It's going to be a large time and a large night at Ruffino's on the River. It always is, especially as we get closer to football season, and I think all of us can just about taste that. All right, got to thank our guest today, Luke Johnson, talking Saints football, Mike Scarborough all in on the LSU Fighting Tigers, and, of course, Lee DeLeon, executive director of the Raging Cajuns Athletic Foundation. Big show on a Friday. How else would you want it? For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. We got Astros baseball later tonight. You get Under the Dome with Clint, 10 to noon tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.